Praise to be Jesus Christ, now and forever. I want to wish each and every single one of you a happy and holy Easter. I pray that the risen Lord Jesus, you have an encounter with him, leads to the peace, the love, the grace that only he can give us, the fulfillment that is only found in him. What a beautiful, wonderful day it is. Yes, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Why? Well, because God became one of us to save us, and we murdered him. And then he used that as the means of our salvation when he rose from the dead 3 days later, ascended to our Heavenly Father, and sits at the right hand, offering us a place in eternity forever. If we choose to follow him, if we choose to live a life with the risen Christ, a life guided by his Holy Spirit in communion with our Heavenly Father. So beautiful, we fast with the church, we feast with the church. I love the wonderful hymns and celebrations, musical instruments. Scripture says the timbrel and harp resonate. That's what we do on Easter Sunday. We celebrate, give God great praise and thanksgiving for what he has done for us. So much to be grateful for, so much to be joyful for. For Christ is our hope, conquering sin and death, offers us a free gift of salvation. Not a right of ours, we don't deserve it. In fact, we deserve the opposite by our sins. A free gift of his grace and salvation. He is our hope. Death does not have the final answer. And St. Paul in 1 Corinthians rightly observed that if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain and your faith has been in vain. The truth that Christ rose from the dead is the foundation of our faith, the central mystery of our faith. No matter how nice Jesus' teachings were, or how powerful his miracles may have been, without the resurrection, we would not have our Catholic faith. But with it, it confirms who the Lord Jesus is, and that everything he said and everything he did is credible, worthy to be followed. Yet, in our day and age, our culture, we live among many who would deny the resurrection, many persons who would claim it's all a myth or some big cover-up. They might claim that the apostles came up with a plan to hide the body of Jesus or some conspiracy of that sort. Someone stole it and took it, never mind the stone that was there, never mind the fact that if someone stole the body, why in the world would they take off the burial cloths, roll them up, fold them, take that time? It makes no sense. Lest they be adhered to the Lord Jesus' wounds, right? These persons who deny the resurrection, we should be able to, and should today, answer them, proclaim that he is risen. Because it's good for us to have reasons for faith. It's good for us to have evidence for what we believe and what and whom we trust. This questioning is always a good thing. Our faith is a faith of questions, answers the deepest questions, yet it's a faith, it is the why faith, if you will. We should be asking why. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. To desire to see proof is not a bad thing at all, my friends. And I wanted to go over a handful of reasons to believe that the resurrection really happened. This list is not exhaustive. First of all, the empty tomb. From the beginning of Christianity, we have an empty tomb. You can visit this tomb today in the Holy Land, and guess what? It's empty. I went there in 2018. It's empty. Nobody in history and no group has ever claimed to have found the body of Christ. Nobody has claimed to have relics of Jesus. For he rose and he ascended body and soul next to his heavenly Father in heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father. The fact that the tomb was empty has been a central and foundational proclamation of anyone who follows Christ for 2,000 years. Secondly, the apostles, the 12 chosen, every single one of them, the 11 besides Judas, the remaining apostles, ended up dying for their faith in the resurrection. If the apostles were conspiring to cover up the death of Jesus, they would have all known that it was a lie. Nobody dies for a lie. Nobody lays down their life for a scam. But for the truth, that's a different story. One can lay down their life for what is true, what is good, what is beautiful. And the apostles believed it so deeply that nothing could dissuade them from it. And they all died horrible deaths because of it. Thirdly, something happened on Easter morning that changed the entire attitude and behavior of the apostles and the disciples of Jesus. Before the resurrection, they were scared and even weak in their faith. All of them fled at the crucifixion. The death of our Lord on Good Friday confirmed their worst fears. They had every personal reason to run for the hills, to safety, to give up belief in Jesus Christ. But yet, these men and women unanimously changed on Easter Sunday. We see this in the book of Acts as they continue forward. They became strong and resolute in their faith, willing to die for Jesus Christ. There must be a reason for this change, and the only reason is the fact of the resurrection. Fourthly, some consider the fact that there are different accounts of the resurrection in the four Gospels to be reason to doubt it. Somehow they think that if the claims seem to contradict each other, it must mean that they were made up. However, the different resurrection accounts that are recorded in the Gospels, which themselves were written at different times and places, means that we have multiple sources for these resurrection claims, not just one. Not to mention the secular historians like Josephus, who recorded the life of Jesus of Nazareth. And thus, these divergent accounts actually lend credibility to the case, because these accounts, my friends, come from different eyewitnesses and sources close to the events that occur. Think about it. Any time when we're trying to get to the truth, we have to investigate something, a crime or whatever it is, we find the witnesses and ask them, right? Were you there? What happened? We have four direct witness accounts in the Gospels. Fifthly, the conversion of St. Paul, a man who is committed to persecuting and murdering Christians in his life, it was his life, encountered the Lord Jesus in a deep, powerful way on the road to Damascus. It changed his life. The transforming power of the grace of the risen Christ changed his heart forever. He became an apostle, as the scriptures refer to him. He did a complete 180, becoming arguably, after Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of God, our mother, the most fervent Christian ever. These five reasons to believe are just a handful. There are many more reasons to believe and to proclaim Alleluia each and every single day of our lives. But the Lord doesn't force us to believe. He gives us a choice. Our God is so good, He's not a slave master, if you will. He respects the gift of free will He has given us. So we can have reasons to believe, but at some point we have to choose if we do or not. Look at the Gospels. Even those who encountered Jesus and saw these greatest miracles were those who chose to believe and follow, and those who rejected and did not. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, has often invited us to consider reading more of sacred scripture. In his encyclical, De Lexit Nos, he explains how scripture is written for us today, so that we can experience for ourselves the saving events of Christ. My friends, we're not gathered here on Easter Sunday for just like some good pious feelings or nostalgic memories of something that just happened in the past. And that was good back then. No. Easter happens today, right here and now. We're not removed from the time of Christ the way it may seem to us. Pope Francis says this is because it is not possible to sever the past completely from the present, however difficult our minds may find this to grasp. We celebrate, we remember what the Lord has done for us at every single Mass. We follow his directive at the Last Supper to do this in memory of me. Every single time that we come to Mass, the resurrected Lord is made present in the Eucharist. He's not dead, he's alive. And he's here to have an encounter with each and every single one of us, asking us to let us love him more and more, and to let him love us. We may feel temporarily distant from Christ, but the scriptures allow us to bridge this gap, my friends. And this is certainly the case with regard to the mystery of Christ's death and resurrection. And every single sacrament that the Lord Jesus instituted and gave to his church that he founded is an encounter with the risen Christ, most especially the Eucharist, which is Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. But we have to choose to follow him. We have to choose to encounter him. We have to choose to receive his grace. And so on this Easter Sunday, my friends, as we continue this Mass, which is an offering of praise and thanksgiving, the offering of the one true sacrifice made on Calvary, we ask for an outpouring of God's grace and the Holy Spirit upon each of us. And let us heed the call of the gospel readings of the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord. Put your Bible on your coffee tables next to your nightstands. Encounter the Lord Jesus in the Gospels every day. He has a message for you personally. Begin each day with Christ, end each day with Christ. This means reading, reflecting, praying with, contemplating, meditating the scriptures daily. The Lord Jesus himself, when he was here on earth, prayed the scriptures daily. He prayed the Psalms. Anything the Lord Jesus does, we are to follow. So in this way, my friends, the Word of God, sacred scripture, will allow us to experience for ourselves the power of the risen Christ, the transforming power of Almighty God in his Son, the transforming power of the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. And this is why we proclaim Alleluia. This is why we cry out to the world, He is risen. He is truly risen.